Such an interesting point. Sorry, guys, got to interrupt. A couple of new people have joined the live streams. This guy called Space Croaker. Welcome to our live stream, Space.
Welcome.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So if there's anybody who does want to jump in with a conversation, otherwise we're just going to sit here and shoot the breeze. So if you've got any points of conversation or questions you want to answers to, now would be the time to ask.
Hi. Just introducing
you. Hi, Space. Welcome.
Hi, yes. I was wondering what information had brought you all to her here. I wrote my question down. Let me read it again. What convinced you all or brought you all to discovering that the Earth was flat? And I'm asking because I was in a Discord with Geo, and all I really know about it is from the documentary that I've seen on Netflix. And he pointed out that the information in that documentary is pretty biased. So I just kind of wanted to understand more about, I guess, why the Earth is flat and whatnot.
Why the Earth is flat?
Well, or kind of like what,
the evidence for the Earth being flat. So the water, 71% of the Earth's surface, is observed and measured to be level. There's no curvature to the Earth, especially over water. So if there's no curve where it should be, mathematically and predictably, it's not a ball. So that's the main piece of evidence, because you need a ball for everything to start moving and spinning and to live on. And it's not observed, it's not measured, and it's not practically used.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
If we could find the curvature, we would probably know some flat earthers. We've all looked. There's been a lot of people, a lot of different tests. Laser tests, long distance observations, geometric calculations that don't make sense. There's just a lot of solid, real evidence that supports that the Earth is measures flat. And
well,
so
there's no evidence of curve, there's no evidence of spin, there's no evidence of a lot of things in a lot of ways they said they explain things to be. There's no evidence of it.
I got one for space okra. Is that what you go by? How do you say your name, your handle?
Oh, it's a space quokka. It's this cute little animal.
Okay, so a space quokka. I could basically, my path to the flat Earth is, I mean, self-deprecating and very embarrassing. And I say that because I thought I was right because so many other people I believed were wrong. Because I was in the Army for over 10 years. I had multiple combat deployments in support of the global war on terror. After my fourth deployment, I had a friend, a close friend that I actually grew up with, who I went to basic training with. And it was part of the troop surge. And we both just happened to get deployed as part of Bush's troop surge. And he got killed. And I basically watched him die. And I left the Army and I joined the anti-war movement because I didn't want our children to be fighting this war. After a politician. Yeah, I'll wrap it up real quick. So basically, I met someone in the anti-war movement who believed the Earth was flat. And I harped on him. I ripped on him. I tore him apart every day. I called him retarded. And eventually he said to me these three words, or basically more than three words. He said, if the Earth was a globe, would there be a global war on terror? And it destroyed it shattered my ego right there. I'm like, hell no. If the Earth was a globe, there wouldn't be war at all. There'd be enough space for everyone to coexist peacefully. And then from there, I've branched out and I've learned all that the flat Earth, community has taught. And I think it takes a flat smack. This is what I was getting to, Jedi. Sorry for taking too.
Sorry, buddy, you're fine.
Yeah, it takes a flat smack to get somebody to understand flat Earth. And for my grandpa, it took me showing them a video of NASA astronauts telling kids to swallow their toothpaste. For my dad, it took him to understand that you can't see a full moon during the day. For multiple people, there's some issue. there's always one thing that they hold as a sacred cow, that once they realize that objective truth somehow becomes subjective, if they're able to count in flat earth as a possibility, they're able to see everything. It's literally swallowing the red pill. I yield back.
Cheers, thank you for that.
Why do you think, what is gained from that knowledge not being known by everyone? Like, why?
Is information power?
Can I?
Okay, that makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, why do we have a central intelligence agency in the first place if information isn't something they, like, hold dear? I mean, why?
Yeah, I mean, information is power, and you can use that information however you need to.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Sorry, buddy, go on, carry on.
Information is supernatural.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you understand something somewhat one way, and they understand it another, and you're 100% wrong, but you just don't know it because of what you've been explained the wrong way, it doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're stupid or anything. It's just a different understanding. And they can do it, believe me. I mean, the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, the government. I mean, yeah, some of the people and some of the agencies have our best interest in mind, but some of them don't.
So, I mean, there are instances throughout history. One of my favorites is McCarthyism, where, like, everything is kind of a lie and everything's based on a lie.
Well, in the way of theoretical physics and theoretical astro and, like, theoretical space and all the stuff they talk about, it's all theoretical. It's all one man. At the end of the day, most of the scientists are one guy or a group of guys trying to figure something out. So they'll come up
with pseudoscientists.
Whatever. And then they'll come up with an idea. You're right. They'll come up with an idea. And then they keep going along with these inferences or instances to build upon more ideas. And the next guy does it. And the next guy does it. Just to try to build a Lego block falsehood or theory of how things work. But it's just an idea from a man. I mean, at the end of the day.
I feel like, you know, we know that everything we learn in schools is a lie. We kind of know that it's like training to, like, be a good, like, yes, sir, you know, go out and make Uncle Sam's money and stuff. And they lie to us about all kinds of other stuff. So I kind of feel like if you can trick somebody into believing the world's not really what it is, you, I mean, you can just ultimately damage their whole perception of things. And then from there, it's just, you can just tear them down from there. You can, if you can get them to believe the biggest lie, they'll believe in the smallest lie.
Not everything is a lie, though.
Right.
Because not everything is a lie. If everything was a lie, then it'd be too easy. They
I'm
mix.
Not saying that everything is a lie, but we know that they attack our minds with propaganda and
who?
And world elites, the world leaders, the people that want to control you.
I don't talk to those guys.
But you watch them on TV and YouTube every day.
Well, we hear the shit they put out through school, through the news, through the media.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying is the majority of the masses are manipulated. That's all I'm saying.
I tried to get the topic off on information is supernatural, but you guys wouldn't let me. So go ahead.
We've got somebody who's joined the server who's really new to the subject. So we're just going through a couple of things with Space Croker. So yeah, we were talking about that, but ultimately it wasn't leading down that path. But we've got a new guest, guys, so without us monologuing amongst ourselves for the next 20 minutes about something that she wasn't talking about, let's talk about what she was talking about.
What's her point?
Yeah,
she did say something about, you know, how we know that they lied to us, and that's why I said what I said.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
Yeah, okay, I completely agree
with what you're saying, man. Completely agree with what you're saying.
Cool.
It'll be then someone else, then someone else, and someone else, and by that time, you know, half an hour gone, poor woman hasn't said anything.
Fair enough.
I heard someone talk about, they called it like their flat earth slap or something along those lines.
Flat smack. Yeah, so it's a kind of term, right, where ultimately a very short argument will rip all reality apart. So a piece of flat smacking would be, you know, let's talk about space, for example. very quick flat smack is the entire medium of space can't exist because you can't have gas pressure without a container. The atmosphere of the Earth is uncontained from the vacuum in space. This breaks natural law or ruins the whole heliocentric model. Now, if you understand that and take that as it is said, you've just been flat smacked. Then you can understand from what I've just said that all of your reality that you've been told is a lie.
Okay.
And then it'll go quiet.
Well, everyone's with the flat smack.
Yeah. Plus, none of us have ever been anywhere beyond a certain point anyway, or a certain altitude, or a certain height, or none of us have been to a certain region of the Earth. So, I mean, to say, you know, what we know, or, you know, for a fact, you know, a lot of those people, the scientists themselves, don't even know. They just say it.
So the furthest I've been is Mongolia, and that is like a 12-hour time difference. And when we were flying there, they show on the like airplane, they have this little like TV in the seat in front of you, and it could show you where you were exactly on the Earth, and that was like rounded. So what would it really look like then instead?
I mean, was you watching CGI? Most likely, it was just CGI.
First, it would be like GTA 5. Like getting in a plane on GTA 5, flying from one point or one city or one town to the next. I mean, it'd take 12 hours. You know, you add some time in there, 12-hour distance, whatever, and fly to it. It's pretty much the same thing. There's no globe. You don't have to go around it. It's just a flat base. It's pretty simple.
Did you notice the clouds when you was up in the plane? I mean, you could see more miles. Like, you should be able to see curvature from the top of the clouds because you can see so far out. I mean, that's really, I flew twice in my life, and it really, it sold it for me because you never see the clouds curve because like I was saying earlier, if the Earth is a sphere, there's constant curve. So eventually, at one point in the world or another, you're going to see some curve, but you don't. I mean, in the clouds, that is. But you never see the clouds curve. They're always stretched out, flat.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I can't really pinpoint seeing the clouds curve. Like, I can't say that I definitely saw that.
Well, how about the plane? Hold on a second. How about the plane flight drop, and how long was the plane flight?
Well, the flight was a 12-hour flight.
Whoa. How fast was it going?
Black clouds.
Wait a second.
I don't know how fast.
I'm getting some feedback. Sorry about that.
That's all right, man.
Yeah, but it should be dropped. The flight should be dropping, right?
Following the curve.
Right. Even at 1 hour, if the plane's flying at typical cruising speeds, like 500 miles an hour, right? If you're flying for 1 hour at 500 miles an hour, how far are you going?
500 miles.
What is the drop, the vertical drop that must be negotiated in 500 miles?
Oh, fuck. That's a lot.
I don't know, but it's 8 inches per mile squared, and I don't have the calculator.
I got the answer. 167,376 feet. So
how many miles is that?
So that flight, your airplane that's flying level, besides turbulence, must drop, vertical drop. I don't care how it does it. It could do barrel rolls. It could do all kinds of stuff. But it must, on average, drop 2,789 feet every minute. Does that happen?
No, it doesn't happen.
Welcome to Flat Earth. Thanks.
Just to like rephrase that, because she might not get that, because she's kind of new to the topic. But do you kind of get where he's going with that, Space?
Yes, I do.
Like, if you think about it, like, you know, if you're flying at level, right, over a globe, and you were never aiming your nose down for the plane to, like, correct for, like, altitude, you would essentially gain altitude if you keep going straight on a ball. Right? Just think about
and
it
with
like this.
That, you should see clouds coming over.
Just think about it like
that
this.
Much distance. Also, that you might
don't worry about the clouds.
Hold on, sorry, everyone. Top notch. I don't know whether you could hear Jose. This happened earlier, so you started talking through Jose whilst he was speaking. I don't know whether you could hear him, buddy, but you might need to sort that out again.
Right. Okay. So, like, what I was saying is, like, it's like as simple as like putting a ruler on like a baseball, right? That ruler eventually is not going to touch the ball anymore, and it's going to, you know, the ball is going to drop away from that ruler at some point. So, essentially, that distance quantum racer was talking about. I forgot how much feet he said, but it's a lot of feet, man. That's how much the nose should be dropping down in between that distance that you traveled through that time, right? Now, we all know that we feel motion, right? When you ascend, descend, you know? So, like, if you really think about it, everyone that's flown a plane can honestly say to themselves that the plane flies level and straight and actually flies with sometimes 3 degrees nose up. That's how it maintains its level. So that's pretty much what the argument's about, that the plane is flying over a plane, a stationary plane, and not a globe.
And the horizon. The horizon should drop on a ball when you go up to a certain level, but it doesn't. It makes sure it goes up with you.
Yeah, let's just stick with the drop. Let's one at a time. So when you make that...
horizon should drop.
Yeah, I understand that. Let's stick with one at a time. Is when you fly, let's say 11 hours, but that's a long distance, right? Does that flight save for turbulence? Do you drop any amount of feet that you felt?
I don't really remember feeling that.
Right. The flight pretty much stays level, correct?
Yes.
Welcome to Flat Earth.
All right. Okay. I understand. That makes sense.
And what you'll find, and hopefully you'll stick around in the Discord server for a long time, is these individual arguments, like aeroplanes. We can use aeroplanes in the way that they are built and the way that pilots are taught and all of these different types of things, navigation. Each single one of these things won't be working on a ball that moves and spins underneath the aeroplane. It'll work on a flat stationary earth, not a ball. So each individual argument... and. You've probably, you know, you've understood maybe Flat Earth has been around for a while. People probably think that they can pull evidence out of their backside, left, right, and center, and just throw it down. The only thing I'll employ you to do, and you've done it really well so far, so thank you, is ask you questions, give us time to go through the argument with you, and you'll understand, like you just have done, that planes aren't flying around a ball. You just have to start thinking about them critically and logically and get to the understanding that you can question the reality that you've been sold. I mean, sold.
Yeah, you know, I have a background in Montessori education, and that really encourages asking questions and looking into things further. And I've really appreciated you all taking the time to answer my questions so thoroughly. And I feel like I have a starting base to start to learn more.
Okay. Space Corca, I got one more thing for you, just to double back on what I said. So even when I got flat smacked by this question I could not square with reality, I still questioned my own understanding. I said, well, yeah, okay, so what? There's a global war on terror, but the globe is still real. The next thing that put me over the edge is like, why would I, the guy who told me this, lie to you and tell you I think the Earth is a globe? And that's what finally did it for me. If you follow the money, if you follow who would tell you what and why, that's the final nail in the coffin. Do you think I would lie to you to gain nothing from you? I don't know who you are. I might not ever meet you in real life. I'm telling you what I think and what I've come to realize as reality. And I've got nothing to gain from that, only stuff to lose. Where the people in power that perpetuate this globe world, they've got everything to gain by continuing the lie.
Has she seen the Black Swan yet?
No, we haven't even got that far. This conversation's about 10 minutes before you came in, QE, so about half hour old. This is really new stuff, guys.
I was just going to suggest that just before you said that.
I think we should start. Like,
I was going to actually suggest that.
Too many people talking. There's like four people with ideas now. Jose, what are you trying to say?
I don't have an idea. I have a request.
I was saying that we should hold off on the Black Swan. I think that's like at least 2 days in here. You kind of have to understand like the math, the horizon, you know, like because even if she understands the Black Swan, she still won't know how to make sense of it, I think. But I could be wrong. You know, I might be misjudging her. But
she's smart enough.
I think I'm capable of understanding information. Yeah.
Let me try and break this down, if I may. What I'll do is I'll break this down, and then I'll hand it over to QE for the actual Black Swan argument. But we are told that we are living on a ball. That ball has got definite dimensions because we know the size of the Earth, right? So ultimately, given these dimensions of the Earth, radius, diameter, and circumference, we can use math to figure a few things out about this ball. We can figure out where the horizon is, for example, your placement on the ball, your observer height above the surface of the curved surface. We can figure out how much descent there should be over the curved surface from point A to point B. You being point A, every surface is always descending down and away from you. So point B at distance will always be a calculable rate away. Being as we've got the math of the ball, the calculation from point A to point B over distance is 8 inches per mile squared. So after 1 mile, that's 8 inches of drop between point A and point B. After 3 miles, it's 72 inches of drop. And after 10 miles, that's 66 foot of drop. It gets worse, it's exponential, it's a curved surface. Ultimately, being as it's a ball, it's got definite values, the geometric shape, to figure out certain things about our environment. Basically, we should be able to measure the Earth, especially over distances of water, because that's where the most curvature should be found. 71% of the Earth's surface is water, and as gravity is doing some magic and pulling everything to the center of mass, then this is where we should find the convex nature of our Earth. So we should be able to measure it, being as we've got definite dimensions. You understand that, yeah?
To a degree, but I was wondering if you have a figure that goes along with that so I could visualize.
All right, okay. In the live stream voice text one, there's Earth curve calculations going around. It's a shape. It's two-dimensional in this instance because you're only figuring out drop between point A and point B. So this is two lines. So the circle is good enough to represent the sphere. Sphere, 3959 radius. Circumference, 24,901 miles. We've got values. We've got a circle. We know what we can do with pi and shit. We can figure out the drop value between point A and point B over the distance of this ball. The calculation works out to more accurately 7.98 inches per mile squared. But 8 inches per mile squared is roughly good enough. Definitely something we should be able to measure.
Hey, real quick, do you mind if I guide her to the live stream one voice text? I'm not sure if she's familiar about that. But right above this live stream voice, there's a channel called Live Stream One Voice Text. That's where we're posting relevant images to match with what these guys are talking about currently. Just scroll up. It's like the last three pictures. You're going to see one that says Curve Calc. You're going to see one that says Bye-Bye Ball. That's the Black Swan, which we're going to discuss right after. And the one that India just posted is another, you know, observation of how light drop would be, you know, measured and things like that.
You're on a ball. You know how big the ball is. For you, point A, every surface in the way, because relative to you on top of the Earth, that's what's happening for you. You're on top of the ball relative to you, right? So every single surface, the Earth, the water in most instances, right, should be curving down and away at a most definitely calculable rate because we are told the size of the Earth, geometric shape, sphere, circle in this instance. So we've got the math. We can do measurements. Do the measurements fit the math? Does math fit reality? I don't know if you wanted to ask any questions before we carried on.
I'm looking at the graphic right now, but I don't think I have questions at the moment.
Okay, cool. I don't know. John, if you wanted to carry on.
Yeah, I think it's a very simple argument. I like her when she said that, do you have any, you know, solid data points? Yeah, we do. And this is it. This is the argument. It's very short. It's just a modus tollens. If the Earth is a sphere with a radius of 3959 miles, and that's definitely the radius. You understand that, correct?
Yes, I do.
Yep, that's P. Then every horizon distance measurement must be no more than 1.225 times the square root of the observer's height in feet. That's Q. In the black swan photo, if you are in Voice One text chat, it has Bye-bye Ball with Quantum Eraser posting it. I just want you to just let me know if you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it says Bye-bye Ball, right? This is the photo. This is called the Black Swan. This photo was taken at 1 foot observer height in Santa Barbara, California. Now, I gave the observer height 5 feet for the argument, but we can disregard the 5 foot because it's actually 1 foot. And we have video evidence to prove that. The max distance to the geometric horizon should be 2.73 miles at 5 feet, but actually it should only be 1.22 miles away. You see the problem?
Yes.
This horizon is well beyond 9.41 miles. So some people calculate, it doesn't matter. We can make it 10 miles. How can the horizon move from 1.22 miles, 10 times that distance, behind those oil platforms? It's a rhetorical question because it can't. Therefore, the Earth is not a sphere. That's it. That's the argument.
Unless it's larger than like the sun, movies. I think it worked out right. Mathematically, it had to be larger than the sun.
Space movies, bro.
Hey, before you guys all jump in, why don't we ask if she has any questions about it?
Right now, I don't. Right now, I'm going to keep listening. I'm continuing to look at all the information, and so far, I totally understand what you all are saying.
Hey, Quantum, okay. You're ruining every space movie that
ever we'll get there. We'll get there, Elijah. I swear we'll get there for you, buddy. I just want to add some more background for this, with this whole horizon, where it is, what we're looking at, right? So we've got maths. We're looking for curvature. Geometric, physical curvature of the Earth is what we're looking for. Because for 3,000 years, we've been told, the Greeks were saying, that's the reason why boats disappear at the way that they do, from the bottom up. Because they are disappearing over physical blockage, the curve of the Earth. Now, we've had conversations for 5 years, debates, however you want to call them, since the Flat Earth has kind of started, or people have been waking up to Flat Earth. And this is one of the most common things, because Flat Earth claim number one is an observation claim. We observe the Earth to be flat, and doesn't matter the altitude that you gain or the optical equipment that you use, you can see as far as you can see. There's no physical Earth blockage in the way or curvature of the Earth stopping you from seeing as far as you can see, because there's a prediction within the curve model of the Earth, how far you should be able to see something at distance. Eventually, that thing would have disappeared underneath the curvature of the Earth, and the physical blockage of the curve of the Earth would stop you from seeing it. Physical obstruction would stop you from seeing it. Long distance observations, and this is just one. The one with Bye-bye Ball with the oil rigs. This is just one of thousands of long-distance observations that supersede the prediction of a curved Earth. Literally, Flat Earth claim number one is we see too far. We see things in a distance that are literally directly in front of us. We have a direct line of sight with these lighthouses. Lighthouse, for example, it is there. There is the lighthouse. Depending on the atmospheric conditions of the day, we will or will not be able to see it. We might be able to see more of it. We might be able to see less of it. But light refraction, we're observing through the atmosphere. So that's the argument. It is directly in front of us. The response or the other argument from the globe Earth, what we have to understand is, for example, the lighthouse at 20 miles away. That is not a lighthouse at 20 miles away. It physically can't be there because of the curve of the Earth. the math predicts and tells you that it's not there. So that lighthouse that you see is an actual holographic projection. It's looming up through some kind of super looming light refraction from a place where you can't see it because it's being physically blocked to a place that you can now see it, but that lighthouse is not the actual lighthouse. It's an illusion. It's quite easy to understand that when making long distance observations, you have a direct line of sight to that object, the lighthouse, for example, at 20 miles. It's not beyond the curvature of the Earth and then projecting itself up, and every single long distance observation presenting as if the Earth was flat. The Earth is obviously flat. It's observably flat. It's measurably flat too. We'll get around to that in a bit. But this is why the black swan is a killer in this argument, because it removes the physical blockage, because the horizon starts jumping around, right? Now, Globus starts saying refraction because they've only said it when it was looming up from beyond the physical blockage. Now they're saying it's happening all over the fucking place. It's a very interesting argument. What you have to understand, it destroys the geometric curve of the Earth. It's never been there.
Well, thanks, Jedi and Quantum. I can never enjoy a space fiction movie ever again because...
You're welcome.
I was wondering what the maximum altitude that has been obtained was.
Maximum, I think I can safely say the maximum altitude of an observation of the Earth being flat is 120,000 feet from a high altitude air balloon. We can argue all day with verifiability of any and all images from above where you can go, right? High altitude balloons, we maybe start talking about NASA, but using the right optical equipment, not a fisheye lens, it appears that the Earth still remains flat.
Okay. My other question is, what do you all think about, like, GPS?
GPS has been around since the Second World War. It's ground-based technology, ground positioning system. It was first known as the RAN and something else. It's basically towers. Yeah, it's DECA. Basically towers. Yeah, that's the other one. Thank you, John. So, yeah, it's basically towers sending out signals, getting pings on boats so they can navigate. And then the technology has been ramped up and used. But basically, it's just towers pinging from one base to another. This is another technology that requires a direct line of sight between masts that say 100 miles apart. They're not going to work on a curved surface.
And just to jump in on this real quick, a grid mapping system literally works on any shape, triangle, square, cylinder, sphere, flat. You can grid map any object. So it's not just sphere, okay? Sphere does not need to be grid mapped.
You can also get within 10 meters of your exact position by two known points, right? I've done it with a map,
section,
compass, protractor, and a pencil.
This goes back to military training. It's called resection.
Yeah, we're not going to have an hour of military stories, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. So, seize him. There's another problem when you say GPS, because that denotes satellites in a second law of thermodynamics violation.
Okay, so I think, whilst we're going to be talking about GPS space, you brought GPS up. Remember, we're talking about flat smacking, and I gave you the one about gas pressures without a container. Might be a good idea that we go into that one a little bit more, because at the moment, right, we're not observing them, we're not measuring a ball. Most of the evidence for the Earth being a ball will be from this place that we're about to go to that fundamentally can't exist. I don't know, John, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to carry on?
No, carry on, man. You got this one down, dude.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, cool. So what we're talking about with natural laws happen always. We've got these things and they've got background noise and I really don't want it right now. So someone's running water and it makes water to work.
OJ Swanson, you got... There you go. You're good.
Cool. Thank you. So what we're talking about is natural laws. Natural laws always happen unless they're stopped from happening, right? That's quite understandable. Second law of thermodynamics, without going into too much, energy transfers. hot goes to cold, for example. Hot cup of coffee is going to get cold, right? Entropy. It goes from a ordered state to an unordered state. Air pressure, high air pressure, will disperse into a lower pressure environment because that's where the busy energy is, right? Where the high, where the high gas pressure is. And there's no energy or anything in the space or where low pressure is. Easy for the energy to flow from one system to another. We're breathing gas pressure. To have gas pressure, to keep gas somewhere, it must be physically contained. If there is no physical barrier between the gas pressure and a space, the gas will fill the space. That's the only way that you can stop gas from going somewhere, is to stop it with a physical barrier, to actually interact with it somehow physically and stop it. So ultimately, when we're told that the Earth is a ball spinning with the gas attached to the surface around in a vacuum, this fundamentally breaks a law of nature because gas fills space. I don't know if you understand that too well.
I do. I was just wondering, that kind of makes me panic a little. If the Earth isn't in space, then where is it? Like, where are we existing?
I guess that's relatively a good question. It's very simply said, you've always existed on the Earth. I know it's said to be a ball that's traveling around the galaxy and probably came from a Big Bang, because that's the current kind of understanding about where reality came from. But ultimately, it's, you're not going anywhere. The Earth exists where the Earth exists, right? Stationary still. Go on, John.
We're not saying that space doesn't exist. We're saying that the vacuum of space cannot exist. It's a second law of thermodynamics violation in your face. I mean, it's right on the surface. It doesn't take any research to debunk this. Either somebody's lying or the second law of thermodynamics is false.
Can I ask you, hey, Jedi, does gas need a container to keep it from fucking off?
It does. It does need a container to stop it from fucking off. Sorry, Space?
Because if there's no container, then what happens to the gas?
It fucks off.
It does.
Oh! Oh, I got it. So if there's no container...
Hi, I was wondering, on the high-altitude balloon, do you know if they recorded a pressure reading or anything like that?
Yeah, it would have been a lower pressure. It would have been a pressure. There would have been gas. It would have been able to press because there would have been gas there. But it's a lower one. It's just a reading of the gas pressure gradient. It appears that the higher you gain in altitude, and remember, you're in a balloon, so you need there to be gas pressure on the outside anyway, right? So, yeah, ultimately, it's a gas pressure gradient. It reduces with altitude.
You can't have a gas pressure gradient without a container.
Hey, basically, this is one that goes to Boyle's Law, too. The Red Bull jump said 0.3 atmosphere at his altitude, where he jumped. And he virtually had on a hard-skinned suit, okay? He had on almost like a diver would have to go down past 300 meters. So explain to me how someone leaving the ISS with a point negative, whatever that equals out to, torn or whatever, how
it's
they can
10 to the negative
out.
Six. It's 10 yeah. to the negative six torn.
Okay, so this guy had a hard skin suit where he could barely move for a one-third atmosphere condition. So you've got times six negative suit, and they have a soft skin suit, and they're flying about the ISS at like a Mach 17, and it, no problem whatsoever. It doesn't add up to reality.
Right. Let's stick with the gas. I understand where you're headed with this, with the ISS. Let's stick just with the gas pressure for right now. But you're right. What FE Jedi is essentially asking you is for you to show a tire pressure without the tire.
Isn't that absolute versus gauge?
Tire pressure without the tire. No, it doesn't really have anything to do with it.
Well, what is gauge pressure?
That's a red herring to this actual argument.
Well, I don't try and get gauge pressure if I pump up the tire and don't have the rubber tire bit. Where's the pressure?
The gauge,
exist?
The gauge pressure is it's calibrated to atmospheric pressure. It doesn't have anything to do with this argument. My question still stands. How do you have gas pressure without a container?
What is gravity?
Hey, Jedi, what happens if Jedi, what happens if there's gas with no container?
It fucks off, man. But see, Space has done well. She's got round to gravity. Brilliant, Space. Well done. Because it is literally the only thing that could possibly stop gas from fucking off, right? Even though it can't actually even be demonstrated. But within the heliocentric model, it is, ding, 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 the first time you said it, gravity that comes to the rescue. Where every single demonstration ever, when separating two dynamically different pressure systems, requires a physical barrier. If you make a vacuum chamber here on Earth, you're going to need to, you know, separate the vacuum from the gas on the outside, you know, the chamber bit, the container. And you have to have varying thicknesses and structures of container to separate higher vacuums from atmospheric pressure. Every single demonstration requires a container, something to separate the two. I'm glad you said gravity, though. You've done right. Because ultimately, it's a piece of magic that is hopefully going to come to the rescue and make the ball that we can't observe or measure still keep spinning through space. Yeah, we get that. Gravity is a massive argument. I'm quite sure lots of people want to have it with you.
Yeah, I definitely think that's probably the biggest one.
Well, yeah. Gravity doesn't exist right now. We're not going to have that long argument with you today because we already...
I don't want to have that argument today.
We already went over the black swan. That's all right. I have. You said gravity. I say helium balloon.
Hey, stuff six is equilibrium. Dude.
Hold on a second. I said helium balloon. Which direction does the helium balloon go when you leave it go on the surface of the Earth?
What is buoyancy?
What is it? It's the effect. I can answer that.
Okay, so it sounds like Final Jeopardy at the moment. Sorry.
Yeah, I got Final Jeopardy covered.
Gotcha.
But what is buoyancy? You're just throwing out terms. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the effect of density. Where's gravity in it?
I'm not sure what gravity would really have to do with it, but. Why
that's what hold on a second. Sorry to interrupt. When we said gas pressure without a container, you brought up gravity. So what do you think gravity has to do with it? That's what it has to do with it because you just brought it up.
Hey, gravity is one of those like forces that's the weakest.
Because it's a force that's acting on all of the particles in the system.
Gravity is not a force.
Right. Okay. It sounds like we do have to have the gravity.
Yeah, we're going to have it. Go ahead, Jedi. You're the one.
Okay. So, all right. There's lots of ways that we can start talking about gravity, but fundamentally with this argument, I want you to understand this. Gravity, both ideas, right, have never been scientifically proven. So you can't take something you can't scientifically prove and use it in a demonstration to stop a natural law. That's just, you're just not going to be able to do it. Understand what you mean by saying gravity is a force. There's a directionality to nature that QE has just pointed out, that you let go of a helium balloon, it goes up. You drop a rock, it goes down, up or down, right? We understand that. But ultimately, when we're talking about gravity, it works on the presupposition that the Earth is a ball and space exists. The mass attracting mass that you're talking about, the first idea, so not the current scientific rhetoric, the first idea about it was superseded in 1915. But the mass attracting mass has never been scientifically proven. Newton didn't want anything to do with it. He offered no science for it. the apple that fell from the tree didn't fall until 40 years later. So ultimately, he was trying to come up with a mechanism based on the presupposition the Earth was a ball and space existed because things were going around in the sky. So ultimately, yeah, we can understand the mechanism, and he's trying to apply his presupposed idea to it. Mass attracting mass then comes along with Cavendish and a few other people with a pseudo type of experiment. Again, something that they didn't really want to be associated with because the magic at a distance throughout this whole narrative was just fucking fundamentally stupid, which is why in 1915 Einstein had to come along, and I say had to, and come up with another idea. Another idea, because the first one wasn't working. The next idea superseded the first. This idea is the bending and warping of space-time, the presuppositional Earth ball of mass sitting in a fabricated reification of space and time and bending and warping it, which is why rocks fall down. But ultimately, the point is, gravity is the thing that makes the ball stick together because it's all based upon a presupposed ball when space exists. Both ideas, one superseding the other, and the current scientific rhetoric being the bending and warping in space-time, have never been scientifically proven, i.e. there is no experiment, no proof. And it is most definitely not the thing that's stopping the gas from going into a space, because we've just let a helium balloon go and it goes up.
So mass that accelerates would equal a force. What other would be causing the rock to fall to the ground?
Did you pick it up?
Sure, I picked
nothing
it up.
Right. So the rock or anything of a certain heaviness, weight, however you want to describe it, is going to be on the floor. The only way that you're going to be able to remove it from the floor is when you apply your force. All right. So kicking it is like dropping it. It's a force. It's going to go downwards because this is an observable natural law. There is a directionality. The rocks and heavy shit, you've got to pick them up. You drop them, they'll go back down. You make a helium balloon or something that contains a gas that can rise, and it rises. Because all we can do is vary and manipulate the objects in the medium. That'll be the relative density bit. But we don't understand, or we can't scientifically prove why the floor's the floor and the sky's up there. And the directionality bit, because it didn't matter where the floor was on a flat earth, we'd always be asking, why doesn't shit go to the left? There's directionality up and down relative to us in the system we're in. What causes the up and down, we can't scientifically prove. We can just fuck around with the effects within the up and down of the rock and the balls and stuff.
But every force has an equal and opposite reaction. So what's the reaction that takes back the force I
input? That's incorrect. That's Newtonian laws. They've all been debunked by quantum mechanics.
Oh, well, I guess I'm not up to date with that then.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you set up to date as well, because obviously you can't gravity being a force, and like it hasn't even been described as a force since 1915. And this isn't on you. This is on everyone, right? We all get taught this bollocks, and it's not true. We get taught certain narratives, and it's down to you to do the research and actually find it out, right? But mass attracting mass, this force of gravity. Not even the current scientific rhetoric of today. It hasn't been for over 100 years. Lots of people flog dead horses. It's just, you just think you're right. It's not even measurable.
Nobody's measured it.
Is it possible to link me the information about the Newtonian laws being debunked by quantum?
Sure. One second.
Awesome. Thank you.
Coming at you right now. Are you in live stream?
Yes, I am.
It'll be with you in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What would recoil from a gun be?
There you go.
I predict we might have a new flat earther before long.
Oh my god.
Sorry, guys. I didn't have myself a mute. Sorry.
Hey, what about guns? I'm a firearms instructor.
Oh, yeah. My
the recoil.
Hold on a second before we jump to another topic. Let's deal with this one right now. The laws of motion of Newton. This is from Richard Feynman. The discovery of quantum mechanics first, and then in behavior of light, and then in behavior of matter, finally culminating in 1926 with the full equation of quantum mechanics, which told us that the laws of motion of Newton were not right. That good? I can scientifically validate that, by the way.
We'll probably give you 10 more. If you say not good.
Wasn't that because their current model of quantum physics didn't line up with the Newtonian idea of gravity?
No, I'm sorry. Newton never proposed a scientific theory of gravity. He proposed a law. Natural laws are not scientific.
Why?
Can't follow the scientific method?
But doesn't every action have an equal and opposite reaction?
So not according... No.
Could you link me that as well, please?
Link you what as well?
Proof of that being violated?
Show me proof of it.
A gun. Okay, fair. Would a gun work?
Gun. I don't know how many... what's particularly confusing about Richard Feynman saying... and you know who Richard Feynman is, correct?
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm Space Quokka's boyfriend. I just like to chime in here. Isn't that about their current understanding or current models of quantum mechanics?
No, there are no models of quantum mechanics. It's all scientific experiments. Models are reification.
Well, the theories and ideas that are supporting their arguments in general is kind of what I was getting at.
Whose arguments?
Richard Feynman's and just basically quantum mechanics, like, you know, the work of Stephen Hawking and
Hawking had nothing to do with quantum mechanics.
Nothing.
Yeah, he did.
No,
he didn't.
What is his work on virtual particles and like black
virtual holes? Particles? What is the that's an oxymoron. Virtual. Yeah. What's the definition of virtual?
That's of quantum mechanics.
What is the definition of virtual, please?
Yes, answer the question.
It gets a little fuzzy here because I'm not really that involved with these topics, but I do know that they did study subsects of quantum mechanics.
No, yeah. They did. Boyfriend,
right or wrong? But
Hawkins tried to square the Big Bang with with black hole. That's all he tried to do, and he failed miserably. Which is why he never got a Nobel Peace Prize. Never got recognized for any of his books. He died in obscurity. Okay, so he's a failure.
Let's get back to the topic. Yeah, I can destroy Newtonian mechanics.
Exactly, Newtonian mechanics. Every reaction has an equal and opposite.
Not a problem. Let's do an experiment. Let's do the double slit experiment. Right, we'll take. Let's see. Professor Shankar, chair, professor of physics, Yale. All right, so today we're going to shoot down Newtonian mechanics and Maxwell's theory. We're like the press. We build somebody up only to destroy them. Are you ready for the destroying?
Sounds fair.
Ready.
Not a problem. So we have a double slit experiment with a Newtonian particle, an electron. We close one slit and fire a bevy of electrons and we get 10 hits of point A. We close that slit and open the other slit and fire a bevy of electrons. We get 8 hits at point A. The Newtonian prediction would be if we fired the same bevy of electrons with both slits open, we must get 18 hits at point A. How many do we get? We get a big fat zero. And what does that mean, Professor Shankar, Chair, Professor Physics at Yale? That is the end of Newtonian physics. The prosecution rests.
Can I say something? Doesn't Newtonian mechanics rest on the fact of, like basically every equation from Newtonian mechanics rests on the fact of the objects or systems at play having some sort of mass? And isn't it pretty verifiable that light does not contain any mass whatsoever?
No, and I'm not just talking about light. I'm talking about electrons.
Electrons have no mass.
What? Like, citation, please. And you're going to have to define mass for me. I'm going to get medieval on you.
I would like to just dial back a little bit to the the firearm argument. When I fire,
yeah, I bet you would.
Oil in my hand. What is that?
I bet you would. Well, you're already debunked, so you can do firearms all night. You can't skip across the debunking that I just laid at your feet and go to firearms, son.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for the night.
It's terminated. It's been wonderful. Take your cloak off. Get the fuck out of there. Thank you.
Hey, if you think that boyfriend's going to get you to space, you need to find a new boyfriend.
No, I totally agree. I just genuinely am curious, and he's an engineer and started to listen and then started to have more questions, and then I shouldn't have, but I let him take control of the mic. So I hope you all had fun and it was all good hearted.
Oh yeah, it was good.
That's great.
You're absolutely fine. No worries.
Yeah.
It's like it's no problem, but remind him that engineering is not science. You could take that with him.
Sorry.
Like, what is science at this point?
Science is anyone who follows the scientific method.
What is the scientific method?
The scientific method is stepwise. There's four steps. Oh, I'm sorry. Was he asking me?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. I hear that, John, and I start answering it as well. So sorry if I interrupted you. You take it away.
Yeah, the scientific method has about seven steps, but three are critical. The first one is observe natural phenomena. That's where you get your dependent variable from. Then you go to hypothesis, which has the independent dependent variable relationship. All science is only focused on cause and effect. Then you go to the experiment, where you have the independent, dependent, and controlled variables are added. That's the scientific method.
I agree with that. I've done work as a test engineer before, and all of that just hits the nail right on the head. You know, I've done experiments where I've followed that exact method, and you guys know your stuff on that. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Well,
Thank you.
Yep. Good talking to you guys. I'm out too. So Effie Jedi, good job. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, everyone, have a good night.
It's been fun.
And stay safe. And thank you for laying.
Cheers, guys. Tell your boyfriend to get his own Discord account.
I do have my own Discord account.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, come in here and get voice verified, buddy, and we can have chats whenever you're about.
You have been listening to excerpts from the 24/7 Flat Earth Discord Live YouTube channel. If you would like to join the discussion, simply type in your address bar, discord.gg/flat earth. Thanks so much for listening.